You are listening to Justice Radio on WMPG. This is the monthly Youth Justice segment with the Young People's Caucus and your hosts, Swathi and Liv. Today we are sharing a conversation with Andre Hicks and Joseph Jackson. The way that we recorded this podcast was inspired by Podcast But Outside, where we set up a space outside at Joe Jackson's camp and invited people in with a few questions and let the conversation go wherever. Our three grounding questions for this conversation were, what brings you joy? What are you good at? And what work needs to happen?
Yes, my name is Joseph Jackson. I'm the executive director of Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition, and I'm the co-executive director of Maine Inside Out. System impacted person, having spent 20 years inside carceral systems.
I'm Andre Hicks. I'm the lead of youth engagement for Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition. I'm the lead of youth engagement for Young People's Caucus as well. I've also spent a lot of my time Long Creek as a resident, and I've been incarcerated throughout the system here in Maine, sometimes with J-Rock, so, who I've known since I was about 14 years old.
Oh, wow.
Out in Lewiston when I was running around through another friend I met, J-Rock. We've been down ever since.
I just wanted to tell if we put this on Instagram, that we're at J-Rock's beautiful camp right now.
Yeah. You want to tell us what we're doing here today, actually?
Ooh.
Yeah, give us a quick beat on like what today means to you and what we're doing here with our young people.
In a nutshell, for me, it's an opportunity for young people to come out and be in nature, close to the land. And there's something sacred about when you break bread together. And so breaking bread with young people, because it leads me into your question about joy. And for me, like, joy is when I can talk to a young person and steer them away and see them go in a direction I help influence them to go and watch them to thrive, whatever that means for them, right? And so particularly system impacted people, because of the nature that the system doesn't ever want to let you go, you know, even and as a youth. So once you enter it, it's always like somewhere in the periphery of your life. And so how do you remove that from the periphery of your life? So which is why I started doing this work. And so seeing young people avoid the barriers and pitfalls to return to the system that I've been in contact with brings me a lot of joy. So here, being here today, is a part of like healing from the trauma of incarceration, developing relationship, meaningful and positive relationships, and have fun, right? I mean, at the same time, let's just face it, you know, there's something about play that, you know, opposition to like what the world throws at you, right? And so anytime you get a chance to do that, it feels good.
When I was younger, I didn't have water, an area, you know, I was in Jersey City before. I mean, I moved here as a teenager, but prior to that, I had no mentor. I had no one to learn from as a youth. So that's why I hung out with older kids. I got into other stuff, you know, smoking, drinking, and I didn't really have someone to guide me. So when I got a chance to start this work, which I didn't know I was starting, right? I was going into Long Creek just to say hello with someone, right? Volunteer once a week. And I think you guys were there. Opportunity Scholars was there back then. And I was like, once a week, once every 2 weeks, it wasn't working out. You know, I knew the kids needed more consistency. Someone, you know, that could be in their ear on a regular basis. In this case, that one day turned into 5 days a week, you know, with the question of the day, with the circle. And then I was like, oh, this is my job, right? So I fell into a job because the job didn't exist when I was a kid. So with these guys here today, it's kind of like, J-Rock and I have been trying to do this for probably a couple of years now. Anyway, it's hard to get all these kids. Thank you guys for bringing them up. But I just think something like this is amazing. It can be joyful, you know, as joyful as some nice ice cold, which really brings me joy.
When you were talking about like the system, just like never wanting to let you go and always being just like sort of in the periphery, I feel like, Dre, you're doing like the same thing in a positive way, where you're like, I'm not gonna let you go, young people. I'm gonna be here in the center or the periphery.
It's a difficult task, but someone has to do that. You know, not only as far as youth, but as far as adults, someone can tell an adult something that's right. They're not always gonna listen to it. So imagine a youth when they're going through their stages of just learning, and they think they're right all the time.
Yeah.
So it does become difficult sometimes with certain youth, but I'm still there, right?
I'm reading a book right now. Actually, it's about fairies, so I don't know why it's so relevant, but there was like this one part where I was like reading, I was like, huh, where this like person is struggling deeply, and someone gives advice to like the person who's helping her, and she says like, just keep reaching out your hand, just keep reaching out. And then he passes that message on to the person who's struggling, and then he says, keep reaching out your hand, and then she does it to someone else. But keep reaching out.
Yeah, I think what you named is really important, because like, yes, the system stays in the periphery, and sometimes it enters much more in your field of view. I think one of the things that we forget is, and we've been kind of like, and I say we as the public and people in the community, is for a long time when someone got with system involved, we've been told to stay away from them. Don't go near them. Don't support them. Don't do any of that. And particularly with young people, it's quite the opposite. We need to be front and center. We need to take that front and center approach with young people, because we already know like the way that the system has, you know, continue to be involved in people's lives. And so when you take that front and center and you show a young person like, yo, I got your back, I care, you know what I mean? Like, I'm here for you to talk to. I don't even want anything from you, just genuine to be here for you. And I feel like, for me, like, that's what I came, when I got out of prison, that's what I wanted. I wanted to be able to, like, who's somebody that I can, you know what I mean, talk to and be that I wanted when I was their age. Because like he said, like, I didn't have any mentors, but I had older cats that I hung out with. And then they became like influencers for me, for better or for worse, right? You know what I mean? I was listening and learning these other ways, strategies to like, you know, survive, right? Not really, you know, and just said, there's a line. I used to think about a line, like, these people weren't working in 9-to-5 jobs, you know what I mean? They were hustling in the streets trying to survive.
Sure, it wasn't.
In a counterculture, right? There's this counterculture that was happening, and that we're all in this counterculture. Like, I'm not getting involved in that. You know what I mean? There's no space for me. I barely got an education. You know what I mean? What's there for me? When I can bring whatever check I bring home in a week, I can hustle in a day. Not even trying, really. So you want me to access that? Yeah. Something that's not even providing for my needs? Yeah. And so, like, it's the same struggle for many young people, and you know, some of the people that we're working with now. Is like, you want them to access a structure that doesn't support their needs. And so how do we give them what they need and the growth and the tools they need to be able to access it in a different way so they can get their needs met when they access it? And you don't know, no one knows what they don't know. No one knows that. And so like having somebody like that's been through it, through the tough parts, been through the part where now I'm picking up the tools, educating myself, you know what I mean, learning about how to access this structure. I don't want to just keep it for myself now that I know. So like, you know, there's part of that, like, it's me giving it back, but I'm getting something too. Like, you know, because that whole time when I was out there, all I was doing was taking. I wasn't caring about, I was just caring about how I was going to make it. And now I get to flip that around. I don't know, something about that balance too, of being able to return and, you know, try to heal the community instead of like harming the community that I was part of. And so, like, that's, for me, the important part. Like, what Dre's doing, the way that young people resonate with him, why they resonate. He was there in the same place they've been.
That's the fact. I find that due to my youth and due to being at Long Creek and due to being incarcerated, I've gained such a level of trust with the kids that they're almost sure that when they tell me something that I totally disagree with, and I, you know, and I can still talk, but we're still having that conversation. That happened a few times today. And he said, oh, did you hear that? Did you hear this? And then I'll say, well, that's wrong. Mm. It's not something I would do, you know. I wouldn't do, and we can run down to the list of things that I wouldn't do. And what it boils down to, I said, I won't jaywalk. I mean, I will, but I'm saying I'm giving that to the youth at the moment. That's how you stay free. That's how you stay out of trouble. That's how I'm able to do this. Stay on this side of the fence by staying positive and doing the right thing. Don't think a lot of them say, I've never been caught at it, you know. You could hear just when we're having the conversation earlier with some of the kids about driving. One of them, others have been caught, one of them hasn't been caught. But I'm saying, listen, if there's a possibility, yeah. It's the wrong thing. If there's a possibility, I'm always saying, then it's the wrong thing. You know, do the right thing and you'll be fine. And it's hard for youth to grasp, but consistency wins in this work all the time. Every day we're going to have a conversation, big or small, okay? If you don't want to have a conversation, that's fine. You don't have to answer. You know, or vice versa. I might not want to have a conversation, but the consistency is going to win every time if you listen, you know? And like I said earlier, the listening part is hard, but the joy when the listening works and, you know, this month goes, or I'm stirring 1 minute, or we're arguing about, you know, and then later on you're saying, well, I want to do this. I really think a job might not be a bad thing. Right? When you see that, oh my goodness, it's such an amazing thing. And so that's why I could talk about these kids all day because, I mean, it's going on 3 years with a lot of them. So, I mean, I've watched them go from this height to this height, you know, and voices change. And that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, as you were talking, I was thinking about consistency being key, and then also obviously we're having this conversation about joy, but also like, I mean, we all, I'm sure, have so many memories of like systems people in our lives, whether they were like carceral systems people or like even education systems people who just like showed up in our lives so joylessly, you know, just like, I just have to be here, like, this is like, you're a hardship. You, young person, are like a hardship on me at worst. Or just like the healing work is in like delighting in each other, in like finding joy in each other. Like, you can feel it, right? When you get on a Zoom and you're like, I'm doing amazing because I hung out with all of you all week. Like, you mean it.
I mean it. Yeah. I mean it. Like, this today is going to be, I mean, tomorrow when we talk, right? Everybody's, what are we going to talk about? Like, today, right?
Yeah.
But when you say, I'm just here, that gives the visual of like, you know, the turnkey. You're like, they're there for the job. You're here to, and the kids see that and they'll say it sometimes. You're not concerned. You're here for the job.
And you're listening to Justice Radio with Swathi and Liv, and our guests, Andre Hicks and Joseph Jackson. Now, back to our conversation.
But I will say that there are a few people in the system that care. I've seen it a few times, that want to extend and want to help out. I talked to a few people about the policies, because the people that do care, that are in the system, aren't allowed to have contact with the kid when they leave the system.
Yes.
That's terrible policy, because this kid likes this person, right? And wants to communicate. So sometimes some of the kids want to say, hey, Dre, I send messages, right? I have to take a message from the kid. Well, sometimes they try to call, they can't get a call through. So when we talk about policies, I know we're starting to talk about these policies and all these, you know, with IPC, that's one that I was like, why can't there be some type of communication with the child and the adult that the child has been pouring themselves into for that amount of time? J-Rock might be able to help with that, because he knows about, like, you know, the policies and, you know, like, his form of prison is different than mine. Mine was like, I'm going to study, I'm going to stick to myself, mind my business. His is education, books, and policies, NAACP, you know, stuff like that. He was over on that side of things. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you named, particularly thinking about the policy of, it used to be staff and volunteers. So it used to be where if you volunteered with the DOC and went in to work with young people, you couldn't contact them. You couldn't have any contact with them on the outside. If you saw them walking, you wasn't supposed to acknowledge them unless they acknowledged you. And the problem with that policy, and it's always been, is if you're developing authentic relationships with someone, and they're authentic, and that's what's required, right? I mean, you think about, like, with Long Creek, and particularly our youth system, it's not just we're holding kids accountable for some, you know, I mean, they did. In fact, we're taking on guardianship of kids. The role of the state for Long Creek should be is guardianship, not accountability. It's your role to socialize young people. It's your role to prepare them to be adults. And if from the jump, everything that you have is inauthentic, if it's inauthentic, my relationship with you is not authentic. And what I mean by that is, oh, I'm only in relationship with you when you're behind these closed doors and you walk out, I'm not in relationship with you anymore. That's the first one of the flaws of anything that we are talking about, especially when it's talking about developing relationships with people. When you have power over people, you know what I mean? And people that have power over people abuse power.
You're right.
And it's our fear of that abuse is the rationale for, you know what I mean, policies like these, because it's been abused in the past. But the problem is that every time we react out of fear, we take something away, you know what I mean, that is beneficial and can be beneficial for young people. So that was, for me, that would be one. When talking about just how are we connecting with youth, how are we supporting young people, how are we helping them get ready for a life after 18? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if we can hold you from the time, I mean, when I first started going there, there were kids in there at 10 years old. We had no minimum age. That was something that took work. And we had to go to the legislature to get that change. And even now, we're still this year talking about minimum age, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's some people like 12 years old is too young. You should be at least teen, right? I mean, like, let's climb into some rational number, you know what I mean, when we're holding young people accountable in a way that the same way that we hold adults accountable. It just boggles my mind that it looks the same. Mm-hmm. And that we don't have a problem with it. And so, like, that's for me, like, the impetus for when you're saying, like, okay, what's needed? What's needed is a system that, for young people, that doesn't mirror the adult system. One that really focus on, you know, I mean, guardianship and preparation for young people to, you know, not only, you know, just survive, but thrive, right, in our community. So I would just say this. I think the other mistake that we make is kids are not just learning from the systems or learning from mentors. They're learning from each other. And so when you put, at one point, it was 200 kids. That is the almost how many kids, 150 kids, 175 kids.
When I was there, like 200.
In an environment, and they already have starting to develop a particular view of the world. And then I put you in with 200 other people that had a similar view. Then what you just did is reinforce the way I see the world. And what you need to do is, you need to be exposed to experiences that you haven't been exposed to before. Mm. And I think it's kind of like physically impossible to do it on the scale of 100, you know what I mean? Like, but you need smaller groups. And these smaller groups are placed in the environment that they can get to experience other things. The most beautiful thing I saw, and I mean, one of my biggest learnings was from when I exited prison, I lived in this community of this family. They, you know, a $750,000 house. This is a whole community. The police never drove through like every 10 seconds. And then I'm like, I'm sitting here, I'm learning from these other kids in these communities, families. And these kids kind of like experimenting too. Experimenting with drugs, experimenting with alcohol, want to party a little bit. But the outcomes wasn't the same. Kids started drinking, kids started doing drugs. Everybody's coming out. What's wrong? How can we help? What do you need? That's not what happened. That's not what happens in other communities. This school system is not working for you. Oh, I don't like these teachers. This don't work for me. Okay, let's look for another school system. Let's look for another place to put you that will work. There's these two worlds that are happening that are living alongside of each other. where you have one group of kids that are being, you know what I mean, like supported in ways to find themselves, find what brings you joy, and then you can actually make a living on something that brings you joy. And you get this other group that has no idea about joy or what brings them joy. I got to go just do this grind over here at, you know, I don't want to say no name of no corporation, but, you know, that pays me minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a big issue with, you know, I have a heavy caseload. Everybody knows it. But the issue now, so you're saying environments, right?
Yeah.
Now the environment is on the damn TV, right? So it's on the phone. So when you have the interaction of these kids with each other, like you're saying, that is the direct one, right?
Yes.
And it has a lot of negative, right? Which kids follow, they feed off of, and it definitely makes my job difficult, right?
Yeah.
Or a parent's job, or a teacher's job.
Right.
And it's getting worse and worse as time goes on. How do we flip that into positivity?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that shows my age right there, because we couldn't be bullied over the phone. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, yeah. that's a...
But it's literally what you're describing, where, like, you go on social media, and once it, like, learns about you, you're deeper and deeper in just, like, the community of people who think like you. Like,
yeah, and you create yourself now. So the kid is creating someone that is totally opposite than him or herself. And I know because I'm with them, right? So now I'm like, well, why are you doing it? Why are you posting that? That's not even you. That's not even you're such a nice, soft, gentle soul. How the heck does the gun get in here? A lot of it's out of clout, what's
perceptions.
Expected. Yeah, perception, persona. You want people to believe that you're that thug. You're not.
I've been thinking about the word defiance because I heard this interview with Dr. Sumita Shaks. She wrote a book about defiance, but she's like studying it and thinking about it and thinking about the ways we define defiance. And she was describing the way she thinks about it as like living according to your values, even when it's different than what you're being encouraged to do. Like she defines it in a really active way instead of a reactive way. You know
what I would say if you ask me about that word define? I will say, I will not eat okra. I will not. Don't put it there. Okay. My grandmother used to, you know, force that upon me. And one time I threw up in the...
Sorry,
too much.
Edit that out.
But like we have been told, like, don't be defiant. Stop being defiant. Or like it's like painted in such painted in such a negative light, or like oppositional defiant disorder. Thing.
It is,
In
the DSM,
And like, oh, this kid has defiant behavior.
Deviant.
Delinquent. I don't know, they're like all put in this category when actually a lot of what we want for ourselves and our young people is that they're defiant of
negativity.
So that they hold their values even when they're not the convenient social option. You know?
So you can have the positive and negative spectrum of the word, right?
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Defiance is tough for me, and absolutely acknowledge, you know what I mean, like the benefits of defiance when talking about like folks that are around me, you know what I mean, and sticking to my value. That's impossible incarcerated. Advocating is an act of defiance, but for the most part is, and even then, is handled sometimes with very heavy hands. And so like in when you're in systems, and you have this defiance. So that's why I'm like, I say it's touchy for me, because we want to encourage defiance, but then when the system get you and that defiance that we encourage actually will make it worse for you. And so it's like selective. You have now select when I'm being defiant, because if you're defiant, they won't let you progress through the system.
Well, I was saying I was defiant because the person I am right now is the person that I've chosen to be when I got to prison.
Yeah.
So therefore, everybody knows me when I go there. I've never been there, you know, but I go there, right? I'm in a cold, you know, cell, right? At the bottom, ice on the thing. When these guys, they go through a door, and J-Rock saying, what's up? Or Charlie Jones saying, what's up? Or sneaking me in sandwiches. So I know everybody. I'm very popular. Yeah. I just hadn't reached the prison yet, okay? So everyone that I know that knows me knows Andre. Not this Andre.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They know the other Andre.
Yeah.
But the other Andre is no longer here because I got 10 years. That other Andre got me 10 years. I don't want to hear about smoking no weed. I don't want to hear about drinking no... I'm doing 10 years. I want to hear education, school, some difference happening now in my life. Defiant. You can add J-Rock. You ever smoke weed with you? No. Defiant, right? I ain't smoking no weed. I don't want to go to no SAG. I don't want to lose no good time. I can't afford that. You people and this stuff that I've been doing has done nothing to me but get me 10 years. So I said, I don't want to deal with none of you. I want to go to school.
I'm just going
to
point out, I don't think that he's defining defiance.
I am, because that's being defiant. You're not going with the regular. You're not going with the norm. You're not going with everybody else is doing.
For me,
I'm defying that.
True.
By changing.
I think your true defiance was holding on to the core of who you are and what your values were. That was your true defiance.
That's what I'm saying. But I did that when I got there.
Yeah.
And you did it in opposition to what everyone thought they knew.
The whole, yeah, that's right.
You did.
That's
you
right.
Did.
You know him.
I was just going to acknowledge he was never a big weed smoker. That was.
But I smoked.
Yeah, hey, he was never a big weed smoker, ever.
I was a drinker.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
There's a lot of drink being made up in there, too.
It was true. We were defiant.
Going to school.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Hey. You have the positive. You have
you
the way. Yeah, yeah. But
yeah. But to be like, oh, it's a skill that you can harness. Yeah. Instead of being told that you're supposed to stop being defiant, you're like, how can you use your defiance for you and your community?
Yeah.
You know, how can you use it as a tool? Which is what you did.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
and
that.
Then, and yeah. And try to get others to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Be your own. Have your own. Kind of like saying no, right? Mm. And I think it was Ice-T that I saw saying that you have to be able to say no in order not to have other people be the problem, you know? So, and he gave this thing that said, my homie asked me to take him to the airport in the morning. And I told him no. Mm. I didn't tell him no. He's like, and he told him no because it would make his homie situation his situation. Now he's got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's got to be responsible for picking him up. He's got to be responsible for making sure he's at the airport. He said no because I don't want his issue to be my issue. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's defiance to me. That video, clip.
I feel you.
Thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you for listening to the Youth Justice segment on Justice Radio. We invite you to continue these kinds of conversations about youth justice, healing, and well-being with us through our Instagram at YPC Maine, where an amazing group of youth leaders post about policy, culture, and opportunities in change-making spaces. Please feel free to DM us with suggestions for what you would like to hear on this podcast, or if you'd like to join us for a conversation. And finally, a big thank you to Samuel James for his gift of music that opens and closes each episode in our series.